All right, so welcome back to Generative AI in the Real World podcast. Today we have Kingsley Ndoh. He is an assistant professor of global health at the University of Washington and also founder and CEO of Euron AI. So welcome to the podcast, Kingsley.
Thank you. Really a pleasure to be here.
And Euron AI, for our listeners, the tagline is Precision Cancer Care Powered by AI. So we'll actually, Kingsley, we'll start there. What motivated you to apply AI to cancer care, and what are some of the specific problems that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, so my journey into founding Euron AI is personal. My very close aunt, unfortunately, passed away from colorectal cancer. And during that time, I noticed all the gaps in her treatment and how that affected her outcomes. And that was what really motivated me to take interest in oncology. But more recently, I read a book called Humans Need Not Apply by Jerry Kaplan, where he talked about the use of AI in different industries. This was back in 2017. And it was very clear that a lot of the innovations that was going on with Gen AI, with predictive AI, wasn't really incorporating, or there was a big challenge in making data for training and environments for training diverse that can really be effective for all populations. And so, I said, I think this is where there needs to be a lot of innovation. And that was what inspired me to, want to found the company, which is today Euron AI. And Euron means, it's a Spanish word without the E. It means a ferret. A ferret is has a diverse variegation of colors, mostly brown, black, and white. And for our company, that represents, data diversity. And, a ferret is used for medical research. And so the specific problem we are solving is the fact that, the current oncology solutions primarily serve advanced healthcare systems. And this leaves community oncology centers and international markets to be underserved. For example, in the U.S., rural areas face an oncology patient to the patient to oncology ratios of up to 1,100 cancer patients to one oncologist, compared to the national average of 300 cancer patients to one oncologist. And this disparities also exists globally. In Africa is one oncologist to 3,000 cancer patients, and Latin America is similar to rural America's ratios. And so the reliance of predominantly Caucasian data limits treatment effectiveness for diverse populations, and it exacerbates health disparities.
So let's dive deeper into one of your offerings, which is Gokisa, which this is an AI-powered software solution that streamlines oncology care by improving patient monitoring, communication, and treatment optimization. So walk us through the situation before Gokisa existed, and what does Gokisa enable today?
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. So the primary offering for Gokisa is essentially making care more accessible to patients and optimizing workflows for oncologists. So I'll give you an example in Rwanda, and I'll also give you an example here in the United States. I give you that example from Rwanda because that was where we first tested and piloted Gokisa. If viewers recall, Rwanda is a small African country of 13 million people. The government is very focused on, AI and technology as the future for the economy of the country. And that was where Zipline, a very successful San Francisco drone company, first tested. They're valued from their last fundraising at $4.5 billion today. So Rwanda was a very good place to test. And more importantly, the problem that I just described exist there in a very, you know, is a stark reality there. There are like 13 million people, but only having 11 oncologists to tend to those 13 million people. So prior to Gokiza, when patients get a diagnosis of cancer, they are on their standard therapies, either chemotherapy, hormonal therapy, whatever combination of therapies that they're taking. They travel very long distances to the cancer center, and inevitably these therapies would result to, you know, side effects, you know, figuring out navigation and all sorts of complexities that the patients are not really equipped to handle. And then secondly, on the clinician side, they are inundated with off-duty calls, because when patients have, you know, issues from their therapies, they might text their oncologist, they might call them. These oncologists might be having, you know, a family dinner and be interrupted with those kinds of calls. And, you know, besides that pathway for getting care for patients, they might go to the traditional healer, they might call a friend, they might get some unorthodox advice for things that could be solved remotely or could signify an emergency. And that complicates treatment a lot, because when patients are not, following orthodox methods, it could exacerbate whatever adverse event or new symptoms they have, and they end up in the hospital again and become hospitalized. So it costs the healthcare system a lot of money. It makes things really inefficient. And all the data, that has been produced by that event, for example, calling a doctor or going to a friend or going to a pastor, all that data is lost. And we don't even know what has been done, what kind of side effects arise in the long term for patients, or what the outcomes are. And so what Gokiza has done is to streamline that whole process. So, in a patient being diagnosed, our system is a two-way communication system that can be used as a standalone system, or we have a HIPAA compliant API that can be integrated into a lot of the major EMRs systems. And so the data that we collect is mainly demographic data, social determinants of health data, clinical data, in some instances, genomics data. And so we collect all this multimodal data that really help our model to produce outputs for clinicians. And so once our patients is registered on our platform, they get a welcome message on their phone. One thing that really differentiates us is that we really look at things from a culturally sensitive standpoint. So patients are not limited to just having an app. If they don't have smartphones or they don't have internet where they live, they can access, we have an API for WhatsApp, for Telegram, and then we also have a short code for text messaging, for USSD, text messaging. So internet is not a barrier, neither is having a smartphone or not having a smartphone, a barrier to patients. So patients get this, prompts that ask them questions about anticipated side effects. These are all automated. They can enter, they can enter numbers that signify the degree of the adverse events that they have. They can also type out their problems, even though that could be an unstructured data. We have processes on our platform that can, structure it for doctors. And so we have a very visual way that clinicians can see how patients are faring based on their patient-reported outcomes. The other thing we're integrating is wearable data as well, and just making sense of all that, all that data, both real-time and patient-reported outcomes. And we fine-tuned existing generative AI models that to regional treatment guidelines, where clinicians can basically just click a button and it generates a very tailored intervention response for the patient that they can review and send. These outputs are being validated. We're going to be publishing our validation study on New England Journal of Medicine AI by experts here in the US and around the world. And so clinicians can also call the patients directly on our platform. That call is recorded, it's saved and transcribed. They can do things like clinical summaries, just so many things. We have an analytics dashboard where they can see how patients are progressing, what is changing, what is not. They can see it from an individualized standpoint, or they can see it from, you know, a population standpoint. So it really helps to streamline all that data and produce actionable insights for clinicians.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the O'Reilly Podcast, Generative AI in the Real World. If you want to listen to the full version, please log in to the platform at O'Reilly.com.